It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skipping Fantasy Show, episode 6.6.
Reflecting on the last year because we haven't yet invented a way to see the future.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
This is our last roundtable discussion for the year.
Yeah. Second to last episode for the year.
I know. We got one last one, and it's going to be a very special Christmas edition.
Of torture media.
Yeah. Well, it's torture cinema. Torture media is the general term for all of it, but this is specifically torture cinema, and we will be drinking Christmassy drinks.
Eggnog and rum.
That's one way to do it. So anyway, so this episode is going to be a very brief discussion about our favorite stuff for the year. So favorite books, favorite movies we saw, things like that. So why don't we just do the favorites and get that out of the way, Jen?
Get that out of the way. This is the part I've been looking forward to.
Whatever. I mean, like, to give praise to people, this is... whatever.
We've had a good year on the Skippy and Fanty show, and I think we should give praise to...
yeah, we're underappreciated,
to everyone, really.
Though.
Most of these were really difficult categories to pick answers for.
They were. And I just used it to... what I did was I went and said, well, which one of these became research interests? And I used that as a basis.
Well, I just went with the ones that I had the most fun with.
Well, I had fun with them too, but the problem is there haven't been many interviews where I haven't come out of it going, that was so much fun, you know, so it's kind of hard to pick.
It is true.
You know,
but we're going to pick anyway.
Yeah, we have
Although
to pick anyway.
Although I have two on most of mine.
No, you can't. You can only pick one. So, all right, let's start with favorite novel. What was your favorite novel that you read, just in general, not necessarily for the show? And it doesn't, and just to be clear, most of the categories are for anything that happened in the year that we happen to have read.
Yes.
So in this case, the novel may include like anything that's old.
Mostly because we didn't feel like double checking when they were released.
Well, some of them were released earlier, or they were from series that had been running for the last year and a half or something. And sometimes we read books like on our own time that are just old, and I don't think it's fair that we just now got to a book from 1990 and that it doesn't belong on our list because we just got to it. Doesn't seem fair.
Although I didn't actually read much more than what we read for the show this year.
But you know what I mean. In any case, favorite novel?
I'm actually going with Stina Likes of Blood and Honey.
Oh, that one's a good one, yeah.
It was the fantastic book. You know, this is a major toss-up for me because we've read some amazing books this year.
Yeah.
For the show, and I read amazing books outside of the show as well. Not that many, but I just really liked... Blood and Honey gave me a renewed interest in urban fantasy, and it showed me what urban fantasy could be.
Yeah, which is not... it could be the kind of intense stuff we want to read on our own time.
Yes.
Like that, and I'm not saying it right, but the kind of stuff that we want to see being read in school, but that doesn't get read in school because they hate sci-fi and fantasy kind of stuff. Does that make,
yeah,
am I
exactly.
providing a good definition for why I'm I don't think that's it, but you know what I mean.
So that's part of the reason that I liked Of Blood and Honey. Yeah. No, I really liked the historically placed urban fantasy, and I liked that it was essentially a historical novel.
Yeah.
That, you know, the events are just exacerbated by the fantasy elements. And it was just a really enjoyable read. It was a really educational read because I didn't know a lot about the Troubles.
And
we had a good interview. But it was just a good book.
I agree.
That was tough.
Well, my favorite book, and that's really hard because I really liked Of Blood and Honey too. My favorite book was actually Osama by Lavi Tidar.
I almost went with that, to be honest, because that was a really thought-provoking book.
And yeah, and I gotta say, I had to make concessions in some of the things on my list, because it was either I had to put Lavie's book in the favorite novel category, or I had to put his interview in the favorite interview category. But there was someone else who I really loved interviewing, or whose book I really liked. So it was like this weird... So that other person will show up later on this list. But I loved his book because it's the only book we read that still haunts me to this day.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and it's just... It's a book that, like, as soon as I finished reading it, and as soon as we finished talking with Lavie, I said, I have to find a way to make this of use to my research and also to be able to teach this book. Because
yeah.
This book would be an incredible piece of work to teach. And hopefully I'll get to do it. Hopefully I'll get to teach like a writing about terrorism class, and that book will be like the central focus. Because it was just brilliant. It's an amazing book, and it's a book that just Fs with your head.
It really did, yes, on a couple of levels. And it brought up, again, some historical points that I didn't know a lot about, and he talks like the whole bit about the opium trade. I started hearing bits and pieces about the opium trade like right after I read that book, and I was going, "Oh my God, I must know more about this. I want to go back and read more about the opium wars." And that's what it did. These are books that inspired us to want to do more and know more.
Yeah, absolutely. And both books really do that. And so it is really hard, but I picked Osama, you picked Of Blood and Honey.
Of Blood and Honey, yeah.
Both authors, wonderful people. We had a wonderful time interviewing them. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, we haven't done any nonfiction on this show, but it seemed prudent that we should list some nonfiction so it doesn't seem like we only just read fiction.
But I only just read fiction.
Well, you read a little bit of nonfiction, but not much. But in any case, so I'll go with my favorite. My favorite nonfiction book is actually a book I just recently read, which I got a review copy for, which is called Walking with the Comrades by Arundhati Roy. Probably people know of her, God of Small Things. She's a fiction novelist and a commentator. And the book is essentially about her experiences with the revolutionary Maoists in India who were living in the forests, and sort of her trying to, like, she's talking with these people and going out into the woods to speak with these people as a reporter. And also dealing with all of the kinds of things that the Indian government is doing to try to suppress these people. And it's a really thought-provoking book, very polemical, but it's very, very thought-provoking. And it was a book that it's amazing. It's a really amazing book, and the amount of research she's clearly done. And I think people should read it. Even if they disagree with the communist Maoists in India, just read it anyway, because to understand their perspectives and where they're coming from is really, really, really important. Because these are not just people that are just running around who just want to like destroy civilization. They're out there because they've been exiled essentially by a government that wants them gone. Mm-hmm. And they're one of the only defenses against a government which doesn't care so much about indigenous rights. Granted, the Maoists to some extent don't care about the indigenous rights either, but they care about them slightly more. It's sort of like Republicans and Democrats, you know. One of them likes certain groups a little bit more than the other one, but they're both
bad. They both like them, yes.
Yeah.
They're bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So in any case, that's my favorite. So what's your favorite?
I'm going with one of the only books that I read this year that was nonfiction, because I'm a slacker. I think I read a few more than this, but I can't think of them off the top of my head right now. So I went with Diane Ravitch's The Death and Life of the Great American School System.
Oh, that sounds depressing.
Well, it was a little bit depressing. It's a breakdown of why NCLB is a really horrible, horrible, horrible thing.
I'm sorry, say NCLB?
NCLB, the No Child Left Behind.
Oh, okay, sorry.
And
didn't know the acronym.
Teaching to the test. You didn't know the acronym? I'm shocked.
I just say No Child Left Behind.
The whole the attempt to privatize the school industry,
which has been devastating.
Teaching to the test. Obviously, privatization goes hand in hand with charters, with magnets.
Mm-hmm. And only 17% of charters are better than the average public school. That's
right.
And just to be clear, we're not against privatized businesses and things like that. But I'm coming from a perspective of somebody who sees the results of these kinds of systems. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, it is utterly destroying us. completely.
It is. It's really hard for me as a parent to watch my children have to go to through a school system that is stifling their creativity and their strategic thinking and logic.
They don't have any critical thinking skills when they come to university.
Brain functions. And it's something that I have to teach them on my own, which I don't mind doing, obviously. And it's something that we would be doing even if it were being taught in the schools. But they are losing out on what I considered a very rich education as a child.
Yeah. See, I know Sir Ken Robinson has written books about this subject, but he did a very interesting, it's like 20-minute talk at the TED.com.
Yes.
About how, and it's really a funny, very funny talk, very loose, about how schools have killed and how we as adults have helped destroy the sort of creative impulses in children and to turn them into adults and what that's doing to us. And one of the examples he brings up is, I forget her name. She was one of the people behind, well, I should say, first off, she couldn't stop fidgeting in classes and she wouldn't pay attention. She was fidgeting and moving and all these kinds of things. And so they took her to a doctor, thinking there was something wrong with her because she wasn't doing good in school. And the doctor said, well, she's a dancer, you know, there was a whole story behind it. But in any case, this woman ends up becoming, because they sent her to a dance school where people were like her, she ends up becoming one of the choreographers for Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Wow.
At least according to the story.
We don't really differentiate. And it is a failing of the public schools, even if you're not teaching the test. But I think by teaching to the test, it just doubly impacts those children who, you know, both gifted and who are behind.
Yeah.
The only people that it works for really are the ones in the middle who, that's great, but it really impacts them too. Particularly since if you look at, I mean, it's a double-edged sword here, because if you're looking at the economic impacts of this, the United States, because we've moved so far away from manufacturing, we are an idea economy. Mm-hmm. And the more we teach the test, the more we will become like the manufacturing-based economies, which, granted, you need a balance of the two. But China, I mean, the reason that they end up bringing Americans over to China to manage their factories and to create a lot of their goods is because that's what, for years, for decades, that's what America was good at, was teaching creativity. We just don't do it anymore.
Yeah. And just to be clear, we're not ragging on test-based teaching because we think the tests are bad or anything like that.
No.
In fact, I fully understand the impetus behind tests. I know why we do it. It's because tests give us quantifiable data. Like, it gives us data. It gets data we can touch.
Yes.
And I understand that impulse because when it comes to an education, data is one of the few ways we can figure out that our kids are learning things, that they're coming out having achieved certain goals.
The problem is when you tie funding to testing.
Sure. And we should save, because we're going to go into we already kind of talked politics. Let's just take a break.
Yeah, we're done. Okay, but anyway, that's what I read, and it was a fantastic book. Read it. Yeah,
clearly, and we have lots to talk about that. We'll save it. So,
excellent.
Okay, so favorite TV show, Jen. What is your favorite TV show for the year?
Okay, this is hard, because I have my soft TV, and then I have my hard TV. So for soft science fiction and fantasy-related television.
I gotta pause you.
Yeah.
Because my mind did not go in a very clean place when you said soft and hard TV.
Oh, shut up. I already know what your favorite TV show is. Oh, God. Now I just thought of it. That's a really great TV show.
Well, we both know we didn't pick The Walking Dead.
No, we did not pick The Walking Dead, although this year's season was a lot better than last year. So, well, but anyway, I actually went with Eureka.
Okay, that seems like a fair choice.
This has been my favorite television show for years. I look forward to summer because Eureka comes back on. It's got a great mix of absolute total geekery. It's got off-the-wall science fiction. It's idea based and it's, you know, relationship based.
Yeah.
So it's just a nice television show. Cool. I'm going to really miss it when it goes off the air next year. For my hard, I went with Fringe. I've consistently liked it. I know you don't, but I consistently liked it over the last year.
Larf.
And I particularly like the new season. they had a kind of reboot. I know
J.J. Abrams.
I know what you're going with, so.
Oh, really? What am I going with?
I'm not saying.
No, I want to know your guess.
You're going with Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I am, because Game of Thrones. I thought Game of Thrones was better than this season's Doctor Who. I really like Castle, but I don't know. Castle, I really love Castle. I still love Castle, but I do agree with one of my friends that they're dragging it out a bit. And I think they just need to get to it already and just have them hook up. And just let's just get this over with. Because it's been waiting for a long time. But Game of Thrones, I think, was absolutely brilliant.
It was. I
despite
totally agree.
Flaws.
Right. There are the flaws that we have discussed in the past.
Yeah. My favorite scene is still the scene where, Khal Drogo has that total fit and he's just like screaming in Dothraki and like doing that whole macho thing. He's like flexing his muscles and saying, I'm going to rip their souls out and kill them all. And but in Dothraki, that scene's still my favorite.
Yeah, I just like any scene with the mother being badass.
Wait, Cersei? Lannister?
Yes.
Oh, she's evil. I hope they all die.
No, not Cersei. Sorry, the other mother.
The other mother.
The wife of Sean Bean.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Madame Stark. Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, well, let's go with favorite movie. That was released in 2011. We're splitting these in two categories.
I saw so few movies this year, it kind of hurt. Because we've been doing monthly movie madness, and obviously there were some movies that I really wanted to see.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the only one that I actually got to see this summer and luckily ended up really enjoying was Super 8.
Blech.
I know you didn't like it, but Oh, you didn't see it. Oh,
no,
okay.
Because J.J. Abrams is
oh, that's right.
Me
evil
cancer.
And he's right.
Yeah.
I loved the nostalgic elements to it. To be honest, it probably doesn't hold up to people who don't have those connections to the old Steven Spielberg films, but it was a really heartwarming film.
Mm-hmm.
And the only failing was that it was a Steven Spielberg for the first half and then a J.J. Abrams for the second half.
Blah.
And instead of going with J.J. Abrams' Star Trek, which I love and I know you hate,
Blah.
It went with J.J. Abrams' giant monster movie.
Oh, Cloverfield. Which they're making a second one for. Lol.
Yeah, right. And that was... And they didn't do what I had hoped that they would do, which is have a little bit more story for the alien.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That said, I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it.
Okay, so then what is your favorite movie that you just you watched?
I randomly watched this year? Ip Man.
It could include... So...
Not a science fiction or a fantasy, but Ip Man.
Okay.
I loved that film. I could watch it probably 100 bazillion more times. It was a great kung fu movie. It was a great historical fiction. Fantastic acting. It was just all around... Beautifully done. So, Ip Man.
Okay, cool. Well, my favorite movie from 2011. I didn't see a lot of movies either, so I'm actually going with Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2.
That was a horrible movie, but whatever.
Go to hell. I almost cried.
Yeah, almost. I think that was kind of the problem, though.
Oh, well, it wasn't the best movie it could have been, sure. But there were some really cool parts, like Professor McGonagall...
Yes.
Battling Snape and then doing the... With the things, the statues.
Yes, that was pretty spooky.
And then the whole scene where they're all, like, building up the defenses for Hogwarts. Like, that scene gives me chills every time.
Yes.
Because it's beautiful. It's just a beautiful... I love it. The music for that scene just gets me.
Yeah, it's that the moment when they're finally standing up.
I know, and it's like
we have, you know, we're fighting back against this repression that we've been facing for so long,
and
biggest disappointment,
bitches.
Honestly, was that they glossed over the deaths as much as they did. Those
characters
deserved more respect than they got.
I agree, but I also I'm hesitant to make that critique stick only because I wonder if the perspective they were trying to relay was a perspective of like. That it's the battle, that this is a war, and this moment is like a battle of a major war, and that you don't have time in a battle. Like, you don't have time to think about that.
Yeah, no, I don't think they were that intelligent about it.
Oh, well, probably not, because their directors have been dumb. They had Alfonso Cuarón was on there. But in any case, okay, so that was my favorite for 2011.
Okay,
I liked it in other parts. And the one that I saw, I watched with my sister, was Never Let Me Go, the movie version.
Oh, yeah.
A movie effed me up.
Which I still haven't seen, so I need to go watch that.
It's good. And it effed me up.
I can imagine. It's exactly the easiest story.
No, it's really, really hard-hitting.
Yeah.
And good. And terrifying, actually. Because, like, the more I think about that movie, the more I go, you know, like, we could pretend that this is not something that could happen, but for some people, it kind of is already happening. Like, for the people who sell their organs on the black market and stuff like that. So, in any case, it's a beautiful movie. People should see it. It's great. I'm not going to say too much more about it because I want us to move on and not spend too much time on this. So, favorite guest on this show? For me, it would have been Jason Sanford.
Yay!
He's been on the show, like, 6 times.
Yes, I also went with Jason Sanford. We love you, Jason.
No, we don't. Really don't. We've been secretly trying to poison your water.
Whatever. He's been so gracious to come on the show as many times as he had to talk with us. And he's always fun to talk to. He always has great insights into whatever topic it is we're talking about.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just a joy to have on the show. And that's, I mean...
He calls people
kumquats. We've had some really fun... exactly. We've had some really fun guests on this show. But we have to give mad props for Jason, especially as kind of our inaugural sort of...
Yeah.
Guest. Except that I don't think he was our first guest, but...
No, he wasn't. Although he did send me another Viking amoeba.
Oh, excellent.
On his new book, The Never Never Stories, which is awesome. And you definitely should get his book. Like, I keep plugging it every time he's on the show, but...
Go buy Jason Never Never Stories.
He's a talented short story writer. He really is, and he's wonderful.
Great Christmas person.
Yes, it is. It would
be only a week to go before Christmas, but...
I know. Maybe a little hard to get it by Christmas, but you could get it. It's a, you know, New Year's Eve gift or something. Yeah. Right. Cool. So, all right. So then, since we agreed on that, so what is your favorite interview?
This one was really hard, too. But I have to go with Celine Kiernan.
Ah.
Author of The Poison Throne and the other two books that I'm blanking on the names right now. Poison Throne is the first one, though.
Yeah, I really like
that. Which was a good series on its own.
Yeah.
But Celine Kiernan, for whatever reason, I just had a great connection with Celine. We're now Facebook friends, and she's like, she's awesome, and I love her. And I think it was partially because not only did we have a great discussion about the books and what they contain and the harder hit elements, but it was also in terms of, you know, its categorization as a YA as opposed to an adult series. And then we got to talk about her work with the Don Bluth Company.
Which is really cool too.
Which was just awesome, and I'm kind of a, you know, major fangirl about that.
Knowing that she worked on The Secret of NIMH?
She didn't work on it. She wrote her master's thesis on it, which is just totally epic. She did the Land Before Time. So I just had a lot of fun talking with Celine, and again, such a toss-up this year.
I know. That was a really good interview. Yeah.
Some amazing interviews this year. It was like, can I just pick them all because I don't want to really pick anybody? Cool. But I had a great connection with Celine, and I look forward to interviewing her about many, many more books.
Excellent. Well, my favorite interview was actually Lauren Bucus.
Lauren Bucus. So she was our first.
She wasn't our first.
Well, our first of the year.
First of the year, yeah.
That's all I'm saying. First
our
of the
first.
Year.
Like, we popped Not that our... cherry a while ago, thanks.
Well, yeah, granted. But she was our first of the year.
The sexual innuendos on this show.
Horrible.
Yeah, they're really bad. But in any case, I really love Lauren Bucus. Having her on the show, talking about South Africa. South Africa, obviously, is one of my interests. And it was just wonderful, and she's wonderful to have on there, and it's hard to she's just wonderful. I don't know what to say. You just need to listen to the interview. It was a wonderful interview. It was really intelligent, talking like about her experiences and how she came to all of this stuff, and like talking about the
419 scams.
Yeah, 419 scams, and like how she tried to infiltrate them to get information. Like, just all of this really interesting stuff. And talking about her book, Zoo City, which I'm teaching next semester.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a great book. And she was just wonderful and lovely, and I hope we can have her on when her next book comes out, even if it's not genre related. Maybe we'll have her on for our evil political show. Because I think it's nonfiction she's writing.
Oh, excellent.
Or maybe it's not nonfiction. I don't know which. But in any case, we're having her on the show again.
Oh, obviously we're going to have everybody on the show again, I think, because I'm sure they're all going to have long and happy careers because they're all amazing authors. And I'm not saying that just because, you know, I have to because I'm the host of a show and I interview people. We really had amazing authors on. And
yeah,
I'm sure they will have very prodigious.
Well, Lauren Bucus is going to have a very good career because she's got getting bank, by the way.
Awards and everything. So
yeah, she's getting bank. Cool. Well, all right. So then, favorite roundtable. What was your favorite?
This is a tough one because we've had many, many, many discussions on many, many, many topics.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you got?
I don't know. You go first.
Mine may not technically be a roundtable, but it's sentimental.
Okay.
So I'm going to choose the Eaton editions.
Oh!
Because that was those were the first episodes we recorded together.
Those were the same first room. Episodes. Yes, that was a ton of fun.
I know. Talking.
I had totally forgotten about those, and I didn't see them when I was going through the list.
Yep, and you were drunk for the second half.
I was so drunk.
You were so drunk that you stayed in all day the following day.
That I spent the next day in bed. Yeah, yep. It was horrible. But recording the episode and that whole weekend was a great deal of fun.
I know, it was really cool.
Hopefully we'll be able to do it again.
Next year. Not next year, 2013.
We're on it. So, yeah. So yeah, now that you've mentioned that, I'm sorry. I've got to throw out the roundtable that I was going to pick. And I'm going with the Eaton edition.
Oh, sentimentalness.
Well, yeah, because I had forgotten that was this year.
Yeah, they were really lovely, even if they're not traditional roundtables. So we did have a good discussion, so it was fun.
We did. It was really nice to be able to kind of recap what we had done. And we saw some amazing, you know, panels that weekend. Yeah. So
it was cool. Got to meet professors, I've met China Beagle there. Nalo Hopkinson.
Nalo Hopkinson.
And my embarrassing moment when I totally geeked and that was so
totally geeked. It was hilarious.
That was so embarrassing. I'm never doing that again, by the way. Now that I've officially gone to a convention where there are lots of authors, I think from now on I'll be like, hey, so you know, you're China Mieville. Like, I like your books. Have a nice day. You know, it'd be totally natural. Now it probably won't be. I'll probably embarrass myself again.
I have to admit, it was pretty cool meeting China Mieville.
It was pretty cool.
Totally hot.
And a genius.
Well, yeah, also
bright, and he's really, really, really a nice guy.
Because
you would expect, like, a guy that is that popular of an author who has that sort of... He has an air about him, like, you would think, like, he's going to be kind of, like, not mean.
Hardcore.
But maybe, like, hardcore. And then you realize, like, no, he's like a big teddy bear. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I didn't mean to hug him or anything.
A communist teddy bear, but a teddy bear.
Well, I wouldn't say. Is he communist or is he more like a socialist? Is he? Because communist is like a brand of socialism. I don't know if I would call him. He may be just like a socialist.
I'm pretty sure he's a socialist. Yeah.
He is a socialist. He's ran on the Socialist Party, I think. Yeah. But in any case, it was really great. It was a fun roundtable for us, and it was a great event. And we're going to do it again. And we're going to try next year to do something together.
Hope we can.
I'm not sure what we're going to do. We may go to convention together or something else. So.
Yes.
So, all okay. Right. So, the last one is our favorite torture cinema episode.
Guess.
Yeah, I'm guessing, did you pick Model Land?
I did indeed pick Model Land.
So did I. Because that was the episode we started drinking while doing this.
Which made everything somehow so much funnier. And, I mean, this is comparing it to, like... Mansquito, which I actually had a lot of fun talking about because it was such an absurd movie.
Yeah, it really was. So
you know, some of the movies that we watched this year for torture cinema were just kind of like, eh. We had a lot of eh movies this year. We didn't have, but others were pure, painful, please shoot me now sorts of tortures, and Model Land was one of those things.
Yeah,
you really need alcohol to actually survive through. That's what you know. What you people who are voting on these things, make sure you're picking the things that literally we need alcohol to survive through.
Which is why
turn
Twilight
us into media alcoholics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you should see our poll currently. There is some very interesting stuff on that poll.
I don't want to know.
Twilight's on that. I should just be clear. I put every Twilight movie on my list of potential films. I love you, Jen.
Thank you. You know what I hate you more for? I actually just watched that movie voluntarily.
Ew.
I know. I think that was what the most painful part of it was.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I was also drinking. But still.
Tonight we're going to be drinking for the episode coming out on the 24th.
Yes, indeed. It's going to be very exciting, and it might indeed become our new favorite episode. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that pretty much does it for our favorite stuffs. If you guys want to let us know, please don't hesitate to leave a comment or what have you, and let us know what your favorites were for the year, whether they were things that you listened from us or things you read on your own or what have you. So send us info, whatever you want to do. If you're an author and you want to contribute a guest post, or you want to talk to us, or you want us to possibly have you on the show next year because you have a book coming out, contact us. It's important. Also, anybody who is a publisher or works at a publisher or is an author or what have you, we would really like to get more science fiction on the show.
We do need more science fiction.
Because a lot of the stuff we're scheduling for next year is not science fiction.
Skiffy over there is feeling neglected.
I just feel like we need more of it. We're getting a lot of stuff that kind of rides the lines. We're getting weird stuff. We're getting stuff that's just straight fantasy. We're getting urban fantasy. We've gotten a couple science fiction things, but not a lot of, like, very hard, like, straight shooters science fiction, and we would read
Peter Watts, I hope you listen to this podcast, because we love you. I love you anyway. I want to marry you, even though you're already married.
And you're
I
always want to marry your married. Book. This is getting creepy.
So if you have another book coming out next year, you should definitely contact us.
Yeah, and you can do that in four ways. Of course, you can send us a tweet.
Oh, you bastard! Twitter.com/SkiffyandFanty.
Email?
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
Google Plus?
Shawnee Jen.
And the blog?
SkiffyandFanty.wordpress.com.
Every time. I'm going to mix them up for you.
You do, and it screws with me. This is the first time I think you've done Twitter first, though. That was a definite mix-up.
I love it. Thanks. Cool. So anyway, you guys get in contact with us. We're starting to schedule stuff for next year. We're always looking for people who want to contribute to the blog.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, really. Well, we don't have a lot of time because Jen and I have a lot of stuff on our own plates, but and we do the show. So if anybody wants to contribute, please don't hesitate to contact us. We'd love to have you on the show for next year.
And to everybody that has been on our show in the last year and contributed to our blog, thank you so very much. It has been an absolute pleasure talking with you, reading your stuff.
Yeah.
We've loved it. And
we have. We appreciate everybody who's come on the show, Giselle Vanderhoeft and Jason Sanford and Kay Kenyon for the roundtables, and people I may have forgotten. I apologize. All of the authors we've interviewed, you can see them on our website in a little interview section. But, you know, Lauren Bucus, Tobias Bakel, Lavi Tadar, Diana Rowland.
Diana Rowland.
Celine Kiernan.
We've had a lot. Yeah. Peter Arulian.
Nick Mamatas.
Yes. Who else is there? Who else have we interviewed this year? It was a good year for interviews.
We had a lot of... Philippa Ballantyne.
Philippa Ballantyne, Daniel Polanski, Stina Leicht, Alex Bledsoe, Marianne Mohenraj,
Aaron Hoffman,
Clay and Susan Griffith, and Michaela Jordan.
Michael
Jordan. Michael
Jordan.
Michael Jordan. God, I'm sorry, Michael. We love you.
Yep, and we really, really appreciate all of you coming on the show and all the people who came on and were... Oh, Paul Jeunesse, too. Can't forget Paul Jeunesse.
Oh, yeah.
We'd also like to thank Tyra Banks for turning us into alcoholics.
Yes, thank you.
We really appreciate that. It makes us feel really good inside.
It totally does.
And also for single-handedly destroying the English language.
Yes.
We appreciate this. And all of the bad movies we've watched, thank you for movie theater studio places and directors and agents and all that for making that possible. Because without you, we would not be able to have the torture media sections.
Without you, we wouldn't want to kill ourselves.
Yeah. So we have lots of thanks to say. Thank you all.
Yes. And thank you, of course, to our loyal listeners who, for some reason, listen to us.
Yeah, the six of you. like six listeners. Well, I think we have like 40 or something. I don't know how many we have. Because you never talk. Why don't you come out and say hello?
Say hello.
That should be your New Year's resolution. I'm going to leave a comment on the Skiffy and Fanny Show's blog or the tweet them or something more often.
Yes.
Like at least once a month. Let us know that you exist.
Do we have New Year's resolutions?
Make sure to keep my alcohol problem under control. Developing one.
I think so. I resolve to read more science fiction and fantasy related nonfiction.
Yeah, and I'm going to step up my reviewing a bit because I need to get more on top of that. So.
Yeah, you need to finish the books.
Well, it's not just for that. I mean, I've got a lot of books from publishers and stuff that I really need to do. So.
Teasing.
But in any case, okay, so we're like rambling now at this point. So
now
let's
we
just
are.
Shut up this show and let's get this done with. So thank you all, and we will
we'll
have one episode
week.
Comes after this. So but we will see you in January with a new episode and a new season. We may make changes, I don't know. But anyway, thank you. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Our new intro music is Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
You're just another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction!
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.